Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
Hey everybody, thanks for coming to Civilized Barking. Happy Friday morning. It is Friday morning, 12:26, going on 12:30. About an hour or so ago, New Browns, Dearness Johnson put it away. Star of the show, right? Good showing, needed showing for the Browns. The Browns were ill. The Broncos brought gifts. They brought vitamin C and chicken soup and all sorts of shit. The Browns needed this one, though. Eventually, it wasn't a giveaway, right, Jason? The O-line showed up. The coach with the game plan from last year showed up. The third-string running back, the backup quarterback all delivered. And I know the Broncos made it interesting, but it was rarely in doubt. It was pretty thorough. It was pretty clean, right? And the Broncos are bad. We'll see what happens with the Browns, but feel good and important victory here tonight.
Yeah, much needed. Obviously, you don't want to go to 3-4. I didn't think it was a must-win game, but getting there in a 17-game season. But Dearness Johnson, obviously the story of the night, 22 carries, 146 yards, and a touchdown. Case Keenum filled in admirably for Baker, did exactly what the Browns have paid him $12 million to do. Just be ready just in case and be a professional when you get out there. Put him in position to win and don't turn it over. And that's exactly what he did.
Let's start right there. Case is exactly who and what I thought he would be. This isn't really inside baseball talk. It's boring cliche. Stefanski would tell you, if you ever answered a question straight, he would tell you that from meeting room to practice field to sideline to huddle to in-game adjustment, that they knew exactly what they'd get out of Case Keenum, and he would handle the game. I mean, game manager is the cliche that's always used, but the process of the operation that is so important to the finite details, right? That being said, Dearness Johnson was better than I thought. He was faster than I've ever seen him. The line did a wonderful job, as mentioned. I thought the play calls set him up. And, he ran to daylight early with some quickness. And in the second half, he caught the Broncos over pursuing, and he clearly had enough left in the tank in that final drive. And I just think we'll get into the details here, but it says it all about the confidence in the operation, and specifically those two guys, Keenum and Johnson, that they come out with 5 minutes left, Jason, a three-point game. They throw a pass. They complete it. And the next two runs are not, just take what you can get. They're gashing. They're into Broncos territory. Those didn't end it. That led to the Broncos, running out of timeouts and the Browns bleeding out the clock. But right there showed a level of confidence, poise, and execution that the Browns needed to put this way.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but when they converted the third down, Njoku gets the stupid penalty and they back it up 5 yards. And they run it again. Dearness got the first down. They had to back it up, do it again, and he got it again. After they converted the second time, Betonio and Teller don't really show a whole lot of emotion. But it just – and we didn't get to talk to them after the game. But it just looked to me like they put it on them. Like, they knew the injury situation on this offense. They knew the quarterbacks in there. Jedrick Wills played, but he's obviously at less than 100%. Blake Hansen on the other side. So it was on the three in the middle, right? It's on Treader and it's on the two guards. And just the emotion – that Betonio and Teller let out just with the shouts and the pump fit, the fist pumps when they converted that. It was like, we did it. Like, we put it on us tonight and we got them there. And credit to the offensive line. Obviously, the Browns, I mean, there's teams in the NFL that haven't had one back go over 100 yards. The Browns have three.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? I think they was 166 or 168 a game they were averaging. They're down their top two backs. They run for 182. I mean, You know,
that's unheard of in today's NFL.
It is 36-51 in time of possession. And again, there's no single stat that ever tells the story, but that says that your O-line and your running game, got it done. 9-15 on third down. I thought the defense was good all night. I mean, even the two the Broncos got, they earned every inch, right? Miles 1.5 sacks all over the field, getting held, all of that. If there were a bunch of blown assignments or guys disappointing, and I'm interested to see because the snap counts and stuff, because I did see Grant Delpit more than I saw Ronnie Harrison, and of course the Denzel Ward injury puts a little damper on it. But this is an offense that stinks, and you need to dominate it. You need to hold them to 14 points, right? You can't give them any big plays. And they had the 131-yarder down the Browns sideline in the first half. Well, they only had like 70 yards the whole first half. They get in the red zone once, they turn it over. I don't even think they were in the red zone. They get inside Browns territory once in the first half, and they turn it over. So, just all the cliches applied coming in terms of one game at a time, and you got to have this one, stop the bleeding, all that. But all the coaches' cliches about situational football, sound fundamental football, do your job. I thought the Browns did it. I thought this was always – I picked 20-17, and this week in Browns, I always thought this was a low-scoring grinder. They win 17-14, and the bleeding is stopped, right? And now you have a chance to get back on a little run. You have days to rest, which you need badly. And the Steelers coming in. And, I still think that the Browns are behind the top teams in the league by a noticeable margin. But that's okay because it's still October, like, 22nd, right? And you're in. And should really only get healthier from here. I mean, I thought they'd really struggle to finish drives without Kareem Hunt. He's just so stinking talented. And here I was wrong.
I'm just looking now. Case Keenum completed passes to 10 different receivers. As a backup quarterback, that's really impressive. Like, I'm going down the list. Obviously, Jarvis's return tonight, I think, really helps settle the offense. He's the security blanket to everyone, it feels like. And just things feel settled when Jarvis is out there. When Jarvis is not out there, it looks completely different. And I understand this wasn't the normal offense, and Chubb wasn't there, and Hunt wasn't there, and obviously Baker's out. And this isn't what you're used to seeing out of a Browns offense. But just knowing that AD's out there on the field, it just brings – to me, it feels like it brings a sense of calm to this offense. It was good to see him out there. Jarvis left momentarily with the knee, came back in and said – basically he's got 10 days now to get ready for Pittsburgh. And you would think hopefully that he would be okay. But I'm just really impressed when, Case has bounced around so much. He's been here, there, and everywhere. He's been a backup more than he's been a starter. But to see what him and Dearness did, just to circle back on the two no-name, anonymous nobodies to come in and deliver the type of performances they did. Case didn't even know he was starting until yesterday, and the complete passes to 10 different receivers, I think is really incredible.
Yeah. I'm going to stop the rah-rah shit for just one second, Jason, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to take exception with one thing you said off the top. You didn't think this was a must-win game. I think you're crazy. And I think tonight pressure was on everybody, from Kevin Stefanski to Case Keenum to certainly John Johnson, right down to the freaking Water Boys. I just do. I just think however it went, the Browns needed to find a way. Right. And I think you felt that. Maybe I was looking for it when the Broncos came out of their temporary coma and scored to open the third quarter, but I think I felt that. I really did. This game, had the Browns lost, would have been inexcusable as Njoku's penalty there at the end. And they would have really been reeling.
The building would have been on fire. Had they lost this, the building absolutely would be on fire.
And so to win it, right, and we've been over the box score, but your first 15-play script was sublime, right? Your backups came in and looked like starters. Your defense beleaguered, didn't blow assignments, didn't give up big plays, made a couple, only was in position to make a couple, but made them, right? And so you're smiling, you're happy. Everybody gets a couple days off to heal. And, I think that they needed to. And along the way, right, like we hype up certain games than others, and certain games do mean more than others, right? And the final frontier for this Browns team is what they didn't do in Kansas City and what they didn't do against the Chargers, which is knock out good teams, beat good teams. And the Broncos are not a good team. The Broncos stink, and the head coach is getting fired. But along the way, when it's a journey, and all good teams have a journey, sometimes you just need to take what's presented there, and you need to answer when things aren't going well. And everything from the injury list to what's up with the weather to just the vibes around the team weren't going well, and they found a way to win.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm muting myself and eating chips while you're talking, so feel free to talk as long as you want. But the one thing that kind of stuck out to me, and Kevin said they took the ball to start the game because they were concerned about the wind in the second half and they wanted to make sure they were going the right way with the wind, so that's why they ended up getting the ball first. But and listen, it's easy to say this because it worked out, and they mowed right down the field and scored. But I tend to think that in this instance, I don't mind that. I don't mind taking the ball first because first plays to Jarvis, so right there you're getting him involved and you're getting him going, and you're kind of telling Case, you know, we believe in you. I know you got us. And let's go. And you know you're getting the ball first because the other team's going to defer nine and a half times out of ten, and you pretty much know where you're going to start it from. So I think you can really script. Tell me if I'm wrong. You can really script it better because you know you're going first and 10 from the 25. So your first X number of plays you know are going to be from that spot where not necessarily you don't know that going into a game. And maybe they didn't decide until 4 o'clock today that they were going to take the ball first. But it just felt like, given everything you just said about everything that was on the line, knowing how poorly this defense has played the last few games, and yeah, they've had a ton of injuries on offense, but it just felt like the right night to say, you know what, we're going to get the ball first, we're going to go down the field, we're going to score, and we're going to set the tempo.
Yeah, I can't take exception with anything you say there, and I'm not saying I don't believe Stefanski when he talked about the wind. Because I think this team does game plan down to every detail like that. And last year they saw how weather can affect games in this stadium. But I think it was more, we want the ball because we trust we're going to score. And whether the fans needed that jolt or Case Keenum needed that jolt or the coaching staff needed that jolt, I think they trusted that they were going to do that. Right? And I think they wanted that confidence more than they wanted exact locations. But that script is a melding of so many things. It's what you're good at, where you feel the other team is vulnerable, where they show you tendencies, where you want to, you know, run left or pass right and come back the other way. And the good Browns teams, the good Stefanski scripts, they all have had misdirection. They've all had different guys involved. And when I saw that middle screen, and not only does it get executed, but Hooper makes the first guy miss, and he's got a blocker in front as he cuts out to the outside, and it's taking him 10 seconds to get 11 yards. But, I mean, it's wide open, and guys are playing their asses off, getting down, trying to make that other block. it's like, yeah, this is exactly what they wanted. And that kind of set the tone for the whole night. Because what happened in the last 3 minutes? The Browns were plowing straight ahead. And I didn't think that Teddy Bridgewater was going to take the Broncos down had it been 20-14 and win 21-20, right? But the Browns O-line, after the Njoku's penalty, I thought, oh my gosh. But the Browns O-line and D'Ernest Johnson, I mean, three of those, I don't have it in front of me exactly how many runs he had there on that drive, 6 or 8, right? But three of them, I mean, he drugged the last guy for 1.5 to 2 yards. And that's what he did, right past the marker. No more fourth down call, no nothing. I think Kevin said it himself after the game. Nothing but trust in the fourth down that ends up being the defining play of the game in the third quarter. Trust the guys to do it, and we want 7. We want 3. We don't want 3. And it hasn't worked out, and he's heard the noise on that. He keeps saying he's not predisposed to going forward, that he does it in the right situation. He's lying, right? But I don't think he's lying when he says that more than anything else of all the factors that go into that call, it's trust. And Keenum says after the game, I missed the read, but I know what's open in the middle. He does it on the next play, easy toss to the fullback. Nobody in the Broncos side sees that coming, touchdown, and game not over at that point, but damn close to over.
They convert the only fourth down they went for. They're due some. They're, like you said, they've had so many fails on fourth down. If you're playing the odds percentages, they've got a lot of aces coming up on the turn here if they keep going for it. And they had the field goal blocked one time. They try to kick the field goal, the long field goal. They have it blocked. So see, they should have just gone for it all the time.
Yeah, you know, the penalties, but. To me, maybe I'm forgetting one, but I guess it's just the pace of the game. Like, there wasn't a backbreaker tonight. There wasn't a 30-yard pass interference, right? Njoku's could have been at the end, and I'll keep harping on that. Stefanski will keep harping on that. Look, 4-3, who knows what's up with your quarterback? Your receiving core is in dire straits because you got your guy back. You got nothing else, right? It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peoples Jones is headed for the MRI. Ward's headed for the MRI. So the vibes aren't all great, but man, they're much better than they were 24 hours ago, certainly 3 days ago. We don't know who's going to be back, and he wouldn't get into that. And frankly, you know, 10 days out, that's probably right. But regardless of who's playing quarterback and whether Nick Chubb is back or not, and we think that he will be, we know Kareem Hunt is out at least 2 more games and probably longer than that. 17 might beat the Steelers. It probably won't. We'll see. But you're going to have a fresher D-line. You know, you're going to have defense that might have to play without Denzel Ward, and that'll hurt. We'll see. But, man, when you win these big games in this league, you get the right to play another one. And all along on the schedule, right, we've been talking about this on these podcasts, how the bye week's not for so long, how these days, even without this 20-person injury list on Monday, these 3 days were going to be big for the Browns because the first division game is next week. It ends the 3-game homestand. It precedes a 2-game road trip. And it's one you got to get because you all but ended the Steelers in their empty house last January. They put up a pathetic effort, and the Browns went for the kill. You got to kill them next week, and if you do, then you're 5-3 and the parade's back on, right? So I know we're talking about this game and whatever, and you know, you can't like that Peoples Jones and Ward are headed for the MRIs. You can't like not knowing who your quarterback's going to be, regardless of your opinion on all of that, right? But I think this was a much more, if you said to me, what does a Browns win look like? What does a Browns clean operation, Kevin Stefanski game plan, find a way to win when you're not whole, look like? This is what it was, and the result's what matters.
I would almost say that this feels like an early bye week because they've got the win and a few extra days off, but I don't know if you can say that with Peoples Jones and Denzel Ward headed for MRI.
And the Steelers don't play this week either, so.
That's right. That's right. So it's really not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. It is. I mean, you have to worry about you, right? And you need, along the way, like, you need to have a real practice. Has Jarvis even had a real practice? No. He needs the time for his knee. He was always going to need that, even if he doesn't take that late shot. You know, did Odell have any business playing tonight? Well, we're not doctors, but we can answer that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just little things you want to look at, because now you're seven games in, so your opponent's tendencies, your tendencies. You know, a lot of these decisions, obviously you don't sit around in the meeting room on Monday and Tuesday and make the fourth down decisions, but you lay the stuff out, right? You get a feel for how you want to go. You do the game script. You look at what the other team is good at. You get, like Stefanski kept saying, we made the decision we made early in Minnesota because we thought that was going to be more a 28-27 game than a 14-7 game, right? So you get a feel for how you think it's going to go, and that dictates things. And if the Browns can feel confident in utilizing both backs, especially if Chubb's a little short of 100%, that's a big deal. You're not going to beat Minkah Fitzpatrick and T.J. Watt dinking dunking all the way down the field. So you get some time to look at what other teams have done to the Steelers and what you've done well, and you get to set up some of those shots, right? And if that's getting Odell healthier, if that's getting good news on the MRI to get Peoples-Jones back, or it's getting deeper than that, then, you know, you find that out over the last couple of days. So one of my former bosses one time sent a not-so-kindly worded email that said, the next one of you fuckers that writes it's a good time for a bye week is fired. Right? But, like, Jason, this is a really good time for the Browns to get 3.5 days off and enough time and comfort level to work on themselves a little bit before they dive into their normal game prep. No doubt about it.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Yeah, it feels like we need to talk about Baker. I don't know how much of a conversation we can have about him. Obviously, the news came out. Jay Glazer said Baker told him he has a fracture in there as well as everything else that's going wrong with the left shoulder. I tell you, I think we need some time to process this and get some of the swelling out of that shoulder before we really have a better sense of what his future looks like. But the news seems to be getting worse with Baker, and I'm starting to wonder just how much we'll see him the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think it's fair to wonder that here at 1 a.m. Friday when we don't know a lot of details, right? I mean, look how it's been handled. I'm fine. We're fine. Coach says he's fine. OC says he's fine. Then the Mayfield camp leaks partially torn labrum, right? Then he takes another big shot, and Baker comes out and says himself fully torn, right? And then he says to Jay Glazer, well, it's this bone too. So all we can do is read that one way, right? And that's that he's really hurt. And we knew he was really hurt. And when you start hearing things about tears and whatever, then he's probably going to have surgery, right? You know, I think they've stressed, and some of the reporting through it has said that he wants to play. We know that no one ever questions his toughness, that, you know, he even went through some things in practice this week basically saying, I want to be there, right? But yeah, I think you could fairly guess right now that when the Browns get back to work, and Stefanski will take like an hour off this weekend, but he'll be back to work tomorrow. I think when the Steelers quality control coaches get to their office tomorrow, I think they'll prepare for Case Keenum. I think they will. And obviously they'll prepare for both. And if Baker gets the clearance, then I don't think Stefanski would do anything to stop him. But I think, again, right now, like you said, I think we're in agreement, correct, that we probably I don't know if it's probably maybe too strong. It's trending right now at this all too early moment towards Case Keenum.
I find the timing curious that Baker's coming out and telling Jay Glazer now that there's a fracture in there. I've been doing this long enough, and so have you, Zach, that there's always meaning behind everything that's leaked and why it's told and when it's told. And I don't know, man. I think the contract, always follow the money, and he didn't get it this summer. And you know that has to be weighing on him. And if he hasn't done enough if he didn't do enough to prove to them before the season that he's earned a big contract, certainly the product that he's put out there to this point has not earned him a big contract. And how much is that going to weigh on him and the decision of should he have surgery now or should he have surgery later? Because that's a lot of money that's at stake. And you have to feel like he knows it's slipping away.
Are you trying to say that human nature is a part of this? Because I heard spreadsheets just kind of dictate how all this stuff
works. Yeah, human nature absolutely plays a part in this. Of course, he knows what's at stake. Everybody knows what's at stake this year. And the season that he's had,
right?
Injury or not, it does not warrant the type of extension that they didn't give him last year. Nothing has happened this year to change their mind off of the decision not to extend him before the season.
No, I think we all forget this, right? Like us talking about it, writing about it, you guys listening to it, reading it, rooting real hard, or being a casual observer or being in it, right? Like sometimes you just have a bad day. You have a bad play call. You don't have your guys. You have a bad day. And sometimes the future of the franchise looms over a shitty week or two, right? Sometimes when there's a million things that go on in these billion-dollar franchises to get you to these games, to get the players to these games, to get these game plans put together, to keep guys upright and healthy and on, right? And sometimes little things leak out and we all make a big deal of it. And sometimes a million things go wrong and a team goes and plays well and nobody ever hears it, you know? So I think you said it well there. I think everyone who has been critical of Baker's play, and that certainly includes us too, and anybody else who's actually watched the games, can understand it's the injury has been a part of it, can understand that the Browns as a whole, from the operation, the O-line, the play calling, the receivers in and out of the lineup, specifically Jarvis, as you pointed out, have not been there. But the results haven't been there either. And, you know, teams are going to figure out Case Keenum, guys, because he is a pro's pro and a master's degree in this offense, and he can't throw over 6 yards. So eventually for the Browns to make the playoffs, they're going to need something more than that, right? But in the meantime, he's going to run those plays exactly how they're supposed to. He's going to get the ball out of his hand exactly when it's supposed to come out, 8.5 times out of 10, right? And if the scripts and the line and everything falls together, then the Browns are going to have a chance to move the ball. So – that being said, when Denzel Ward back in the MRI room and Donovan Peoples-Jones back in the MRI room and Odell Beckham giving you 2 plays again, right? And they were 2 big ones because they jump-started the drive that they got you the points that, you know, the go ahead, the points that the other team didn't reach. Sorry, it's late. I can't come up with the word right now. Like, those are big plays, but there are big picture issues that hang over everything this team does. And that's what happens when you are a contender, and that's what happens when you have huge franchise-altering decisions awaiting, and that's what the Browns do. In Mayfield, in Denzel Ward, in Odell Beckham, in this defense, guys like John Johnson making plays, right? Like, these are huge, huge decisions that affect the division, the playoff race, and the future of the Cleveland Browns. And it's not hyperbole to say that, and it's not ridiculous to dissect every single one of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm over here eating chips, so I'm not going to find whatever words you can't find this late at night. But yeah, it does feel like we need to at least touch on the defense a little bit. Denver's awful. I don't know what grand conclusions you can draw off of this, but other than the fact that finally the defense looked a little bit better.
Yeah,
and did what it needed to do to get out of here.
Yeah, I'll say that it was notable that I thought Delpa played a lot more than Harrison. I thought Greg Newsome got picked on a little bit, but he made a big play down here along the Broncos sideline in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Mac Wilson had a game. Andrew Billings was in the fourth quarter. So we'll see how these go. You're going to need everybody you got on defense. And JOK is a huge, huge loss. These extra days are huge for Clowney's legs, for Malik Jackson's legs, for Myles Garrett's legs. We'll see the status of Denzel Ward's latest injury. But kudos to the Browns veteran defensive playmakers for making a few tonight when they need them. Thank you guys for listening. Be back at some point next week talking Browns Steelers, writing about it, all of that. So we appreciate you guys following along. We know you want this team to succeed. You know, we know you've been waiting for this season. And tonight was a big, big step towards keeping things afloat. So thanks again, and enjoy your long weekend. We We sure as shit will. Talk to you soon.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.